It was one word. That's all it took. Just one word. One name. Mary. And a revolution that looked like it had been put out suddenly burst into life. Let me read from John again. John 15 and John 16. John 15. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. One word. It's all he needed to speak, just that one word. And she was gone. She was off. Her heart was full to bursting. Her teacher, the one who had saved her life from sheer hell and misery, the one that she had put to faith, her faith and her trust in, the one that she had last saw as a broken and beaten body hanging on a cross, was alive. Hallelujah!
Yeah.
What he had said was true. And off she ran to tell the others. He's alive! He's alive! Just imagine for a second. Just imagine that you saw her running down the road back to Jerusalem. And this mad woman's running around going, "He's alive! He's alive!" What would you have thought? However, have you ever wondered why she, Mary, was chosen? So I don't want you to ever think that it was by chance that Jesus chose Mary to be the first one he revealed himself to. You see, he could quite easily have revealed himself to Peter or John. They had been there at the tomb. He could have revealed himself to his mother, Mary, or Joanna, or Salome. Now go and check your Bibles, because every single one of those people had been But it was none of them. It was Mary Magdalene he chose to reveal himself to. Why Mary? Why? What was so special about her? It's really easy to start to speculate about this. You see, we don't actually know a great deal about her from the scriptures. In Luke 8 verse 2 it tells you this. I'll just spin my Bible. Find it. Luke 8 verses 1 and 2. "Then it came to pass afterward, when he," that's Jesus, "went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons." So she was there in the early days. She was healed of 7 demons. And we know that she was a devoted follower of Jesus. And we know that she was there at the crucifixion. In fact, her name is mentioned at least 12 times in the Gospels. Do you know that's actually more than some of the disciples' names are actually mentioned in the Gospels. But you see, Jesus saw something in her. And she turned and she worshipped him. In fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus had to say to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascended to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. Do not cling to me." If that had been you, wouldn't you just want to grab hold of him? You know, he's alive. I mean, I would have, you know, and I'm a bloke. But it's like, yes, grab hold of him. Because she truly, truly loved him. She truly, truly worshipped him in the truest sense of the phrase. So let's have a think, as we go on, but what makes her so special? What was it that Jesus saw in her that made her so special? Well, firstly, as we read in Luke, she was a woman who was delivered from torment. Now, that's a really simple word. Torment doesn't have a lot of power behind it. But it's no mean thing to be tormented, to hear things, to think that you're actually seeing things. It's what people today would call some sort of a mental illness. You're acting unnaturally because, oh, hang on a minute, there's something there. There's nothing there. I'm hearing things. You're not hearing things. Maybe she was screaming at inappropriate times. This was a tortured soul. And in the times that she lived, she wouldn't have been put in a hospital. She wouldn't have had people caring for her. She would have been shunned. She would have been put away. Probably abused. Probably ridiculed. So when Jesus delivered her from this, she would have had her life completely turned around. She would have been accepted. She would have been loved. She would have been a part of the family. We know that she was because she was part of Jesus' larger entourage. So imagine yourself in her shoes for a moment. Your life has been magically transformed. What would you do? Would you just go, oh, thanks, see ya, I'm off? Or would you just want to be near him? To serve him? To learn from him? So she was delivered, she was transformed, and she was set on a different path. But it's more. You see, Mary Magdalene, not only did she follow Jesus, she followed him to the end, and then beyond. You see, she was there at the crucifixion. She didn't need to be. There was nothing compelling to say to her, you have to be there. You know, it's like when someone says, yeah, come on, you've got to come to this. This party's going to be really good, you've got to be there. Yeah, all right. No one told her she had to be there. Or that she would have been expected to be there. But she wasn't. Her mother, Mary, now you would have expected her to be there. You see, Mary Magdalene was just one of the followers. She wasn't even what we call the disciple. In fact, when you think about it, some of the disciples weren't there at the crucifixion. Because they were in fear of their lives. But she was there. I mean, what else could she do? After all he had done for her, what else could she do? Where could she go? Do you know what? It's the least she felt that she could do for him. So she was devoted, but not only to the end, but beyond, because as it says, there were women who tended the body afterwards, after the crucifixion. She would have been one of those women. But really, without Mary, the Easter story would lose something. She is an essential player in the Easter story. She's not the lead player, because that's Jesus. But she's essential to this story. Why is she essential? Because Jesus chose her. Yeah. Remember, all of the disciples were chosen as well. Peter, known as Simon before Jesus changed his name, was a chosen member of the community, as was his brother, as was Nathanael, as was Judas. Remember, Judas was chosen by Jesus. He had a specific task as well, sadly, but then again, someone had to, because that would then fulfill the scriptures. And you know, Judas was even there at the Last Supper. Think about this for a moment. Jesus washed Judas's feet at the Last Supper. Mary also was someone who was chosen by Jesus. You see, Jesus needed someone whom the others would believe to carry the message that Jesus is alive. It was a great responsibility. So therefore, she must have had a certain amount of gravitas, personality, whatever you want to call it, for Jesus to entrust this to her. People would have known her from before. They would have known her as hysterical, demon-possessed, mad. Previously, they now know her as someone who loves Jesus, someone who follows Jesus. She was a trusted follower, someone who Jesus obviously felt he could trust with the message. And what a message! The start of the Great Revolution. 3 years in the making, and suddenly it was dead. And then again it was alive. Jesus burst out of the grave. And Mary was the one who got to tell them. You see, it could have been one of the others. Jesus chose Mary for a specific task, the same way that Jesus chose you for a specific point in time to do a specific thing. We are all chosen. And it's interesting that having spent much of the last few years watching and re-watching the series that both house groups have used to supplement our learning of what the story of the Gospels may well have looked like visually all those years ago, yet I am talking about the chosen. I think it's a very, very powerful tool. See, a few things have actually occurred to me over the course of a number of weeks. The first thing that's occurred to me is that this is not the first time I have actually seen the depiction of the Gospels in celluloid form. I remember Jesus of Nazareth. Does anybody remember that? A few nods, yeah. Robert Powell, a blue-eyed Jesus. Now that really, really had a profound effect on me. That's what it would have been really like, is it? And it's interesting because it seems that with every generation that goes on, another film comes out, another retelling of the story that we can read every day, every week, every year, and someone wants to put it on the screen. Wasn't that long ago that The Passion came out, the Mel Gibson film. Now, if you have seen that, it's pretty grim. It's gruesome. I have a copy of it. I think I've only watched it once or twice. It doesn't come out of the case anymore. However, this latest incarnation has taken the world by storm. And what's really interesting they haven't released the Easter story yet. Mm. They haven't got that far in the story. This has been going on for 4 or 5 years, and they haven't got that far. They've just got to the Garden of Gethsemane. Its influence has been profound. Many, many people have come to know Jesus and gone to church to learn more, to discover more about him. At the beginning, at the very beginning of the series, they point to this book. They point to the book and they say, go and read your Bible. Because what's in here is true. What's in here is life. You see, in a way, you and I, when we come to Christ, and when we fully understand what he did for us, and when we accept him as our Lord and Saviour, the roles reverse. Because then you are the chosen one. It's not us choosing Jesus, it's actually Jesus choosing you.
Yeah.
If you're in a crowd of people and then suddenly the light shines on you, you are the chosen people. We are the chosen one. Mary Magdalene was chosen. And you're chosen for a specific purpose. You're chosen for a specific task. You may not know what that is. You may have already done it. You may have more than one task. We don't know. Funny that. Life's a bit like that. Life's a bit like a book where you don't know the end. But Jesus chose you. And what I find absolutely fascinating is that this is not all of it. Okay, this is not all of it. Now I'm going to read, and I have no apologies for plagiarising what Mike said on Thursday, but I'm going to read the Dienu that he wrote for our Maundy Thursday service, because when you listen to this, and when you understand what it is that Jesus has done for you, it's not just this, it's not just this, it's not just this, it's huge.
Yeah.
You see, if you had just died for me, Jesus, and rose again and saved us from the curse of sin, that would have been enough. If you had just died, rose again, saved us from the curse of sin, and not sent the Holy Spirit, that would have been enough. If you had sent the Holy Spirit and not seated us in heavenly places, it would have been enough. If you had seated us in heavenly places and not blessed us with every spiritual blessing, and isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
To be blessed with every spiritual blessing, that would have been enough. Yeah, but if you had blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus and not reconciled us with the Father, would have been enough. If you had reconciled us with the Father, but the Father had not adopted us as sons and daughters, yes, you are adopted as a son or a daughter by the Lord, by God. You see, that would have been enough. And if that had been enough, if the Father had adopted us as sons and daughters, but not clothed us with Jesus' robe of righteousness, that would have been enough.
Mm.
But if we had been clothed in Jesus' robe of righteousness, but not made a new creation in Christ, it would have been enough. But if we've been made a new creation in Christ, but you have not made our bodies a temple of the Holy Spirit, which they are, it would have been enough. And if you have made our bodies a temple of the Holy Spirit, but not prepared a place for us in your Father's house, oh, these blessings are just going on and on, aren't they? We have a place in the Father's house. We know that because it's in the Bible. Jesus said so. But if you hadn't done that, and not promised that, that would have been enough. But there's more. If you had prepared a place for us in your Father's house, and not promised that we would do greater works, that would have been enough. But if you promised that we would do greater works, but had not prepared for us an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfailing, look this up, this is all true, it would have been enough. If you have prepared for us an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfailing, and not given us the armour of God, well, that would have been enough. If you had given us the armour of God, but not made us to be like you, that would have been enough. If you had made us like Jesus, but not made us to grow in the fruits of the Spirit, it would have been enough. And if you had made us grow in the fruits, but not given us the gifts of the Spirit to the church, it would have been enough. Now that list is almost a full A4 size page of the things that Jesus did when he died and rose again for every single one of us. And we, even if we just took the top couple, that would have been enough. But Jesus laid more out. It's a bit like what it used to be like at Christmas in my house, where we'd have a sack and we'd give the kids a present, then we'd give them another present. And they're busy wrapping, and we're looking in the sack because there's another 50 presents in there. Well, it's a bit of an exaggeration, but that's what Jesus has done for us. He's given. And we get really sort of blasé about the fact that Jesus gave his life for us and Jesus rose again for us. But there's so much more. There is so much more that he gives. And it's up to us to accept and say, thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you that you gave us the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you gave us the robe of righteousness. Thank you that you made me a new creation. Thank you that you prepared a place in heaven for me. And thank you, Lord, that you've done all of these things that is written on this page. Because everything you've done is just huge. The end of each sentence says it would have been enough. Jesus never thought it would be enough. He just kept laying on more and more and more. And it's up to you to unwrap and unwrap and unwrap these things. When Jesus hung on the cross, he said, "It is finished." What he really meant was, it's the end of chapter 1. Because chapter 2 is about to start. And chapter 2 is nowhere near finished. We are still, 2,000 plus years later, continuing on and on and on. Because that's the way he wanted it. Jesus loves us so much. He gives us so much. This is why Easter is so important. I've said to a few people over the last few days that we celebrate Easter, but we don't celebrate as much as we celebrate Christmas. We don't make it as big a deal. Maybe we should. Maybe that's up to you to make it a bigger deal. Because it was the deal. This is what God, as Jesus, died for, so that you can be chosen, each and every one.
Yeah.
Bless us all this Easter. Amen.